and appreciate the presence of God here. And we'll be looking in Acts chapter 21 if you want to turn with us. And while you're turning, let me just say this. I appreciate the young people. They sang Monday night down at the Tilton Baptist Church, and we sure do appreciate all the young people that was able to come. Maybe some weren't able to make that trip, and that's all right, but we appreciate the young people coming and singing and helping out in the revival meeting. Amen. I'm thankful that we're able to have choir singing on Wednesday night. Isn't that a blessing? And God's been good to us, and I praise Him for that. Acts chapter 21, if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God in prayer, Acts chapter number 21, and we'll read three verses of Scripture and pray, and then you can be seated. Acts 21 and verse number 15. The Bible said, "And after those days we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly." Let's go to God in prayer, then you can be seated. Father, Lord, we do want to thank You for this day. We do want to thank You for, Lord, Your blessings on our life. Thank You for the good singing that we've heard tonight, and for the people of God, the opportunity to give and the offering. We want to thank You for that. Lord, I ask You now if You would to speak through us these next few moments and get glory and honor, touch every heart, and may the will of God be done, and we'll thank You for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice in our text tonight, in verse number 15, concerning Paul and these disciples here, I want you to notice the departure in verse number 15. The Bible says, "And after those days we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem." And Agabus has warned Paul of his arrest and his imprisonment, if he goes to Jerusalem. And we'll not debate tonight. We don't have time to talk about that issue concerning whether or not Paul should have went to Jerusalem or not. But we know that the traveling companions of Paul and the believers of Caesarea begged Paul not to go, but he was determined, in spite of the prophecy and the plea of his companions, to go on to Jerusalem. And so we see that in verse number 15, that they went to Jerusalem. And so we notice their departure. And then we notice the disciples in verse number 16. I want you to see the Bible mentions here several disciples that we'll talk about here in just a moment. But I do want to point out the fact that the Lord had disciples, even in the book of Acts. He had them everywhere in the places that they needed to be at. And God still has disciples today. Amen. I'm glad that in 2024, that's what we are tonight. We're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like these disciples came together, that's what we've done tonight on this Wednesday night. We've come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And evidence that we are disciples is that we love the church and we love the brethren. Amen. And so we notice the disciples, and we notice the departure. And then we notice in verse 17 the delightfulness, as the Bible says that when they were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received them gladly. The brethren mentioned in this verse were the believers of Jerusalem, of which James, the half-brother of our Lord, who was the leader of the church then, they were glad to see Paul and those that had accompanied with him. I want to say tonight, if you're saved and you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you'll receive the brethren gladly. Amen. I worry about this outfit that says they're saved and knows God and they've never darkened the door of a church. They said they got saved 25 years ago and they've never went to church a day in their life, never have a desire to go to church, and they're more happier living out in the world than they would be in the house of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but that isn't a disciple. Amen. A disciple may go out to this world, but a disciple will never, and they may be in this world, but they'll never be of this world again. They may do the things after they get saved and become a disciple that they did before they got saved, but they'll not enjoy the sin as much after they get born again as they did before they got saved. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ has a heart, has a hunger, has a desire to want to live for God and to be with God's people. Amen. But I want to zero in a few minutes tonight on verse number 16. And I want you to think about these disciples
that are mentioned here. There is the obvious disciples. The Bible says, and there went with us. Amen. Paul is talking about himself and those that were with him. And of course, Luke, that is writing the book of Acts here. And there is the obvious disciples that are mentioned here. Paul and Silas on his missionary journeys. We know were mentioned. There was Paul and Barnabas at one point on the missionary journey. But here we see the obvious disciples here. The Apostle Paul and Silas and Luke is mentioned in this text here. And then there's the other disciples that are mentioned. The Bible said that there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea. And so there's these other disciples here of Caesarea, these other believers. They are now accompanying Paul and Luke and those on their journey. But then there's this older disciple, Nason, the Bible mentions here. And I want us to think about this older disciple tonight. You know, when you think about this older disciple, he is a silent disciple in this text. There's not any words that he says, but he's a very significant disciple. It's a very small biography that's mentioned in these two verses of Scripture, verse number 16, and he's just mentioned in this one verse. And the Bible tells us that he is an older disciple. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject, on the benefit of having an older disciple. The benefit of having an older disciple. You know, we need young people in our church. And thank God for the youth choir that sang tonight. But we need some older disciples. And I'm thankful that we have older disciples. Now, older in our text doesn't always mean aged, amen? We'll see that a little bit further, that Nason here in this text was, he could have been middle-aged. No doubt he would have been at least middle-aged, and he could have been an older in age as we would be thinking here. But what it does mean is his level of maturity, that he was a fully mature disciple. Most likely he would have been an older disciple in his years, but we don't know that for certain, amen. But what we do know is that he was very needed in the work of God because of his seasoning in his Christian life. And I would say to every young person here tonight that what you should do, and I'm not saying that you hadn't, I'm encouraging you, if you have, thank God, and if you hadn't, start tonight. But look around this church, look behind you and look beside you and find some older seasoned men and women of God that have served the Lord and lived for Jesus, them older disciples that have been faithful down through the years, and fasten your eyes on them, and don't listen to your contemporaries, and don't listen to others that will be coming up behind you, but look at those disciples that have proven themselves, that have been faithful in the fight, that have longevity and a good track record and a good testimony. I'm talking about there's some benefits when it comes to having some older disciples around you. I want us to notice tonight, what can we learn? You know, the word disciple means, in this text here, it means learner. What can we learn tonight? What's the benefit of having gray hairs in our life? What is the benefit of having older saints in our life that have went on before us and have experienced things? What do we learn? What do we learn from Nason of Cyprus, an old disciple? I would say, first of all, tonight we learn about his witness. His name means remembering. We learn that this disciple's conversion, it dated back, possibly it was in the early years of Christ in his ministry, or it could have been at Pentecost that Nason was saved and became a disciple. It was either probably one of the two. It could have even been as late as on Paul's first missionary journey when him and Barnabas went to Cyprus there on that first missionary journey, but most likely it would have dated further back than that. But what we learn about this older disciple is his witness. His name means remembering. And certainly we need to remember the older people that have blazed a trail before us and beyond us. We need to remember the older disciples that we can look up to. You say, why? Because this older disciple here, he was a believer, amen? But he was also a benefit to what they were about to do. God was still working and God was still using him. And he was a blessing, as we'll see a little further in this verse here in just a moment. This disciple, even though he was older, he was a blessing to every other disciple in verse number 16. You know, there's a blessing tonight when you think about older men and women of God that have been faithful down through the years, being around them and talking to them and listening to them and learning from them. I'm telling you, just their words and their wisdom will benefit and bless your life. Amen. See, we live in a generation today that wants to throw away that older generation. Brother, they want to get rid of that crowd that built the factories and fought the wars, amen, and made this country what it is, amen. They're ready to move on to something new and improved. And then we got a generation today, for the most part, that you can't teach them nothing because they already know everything. And I'm not talking about the young people sitting here tonight. I don't think you have that spirit about you, but I think the young people sitting here tonight would agree with me that we live in a world that they think they know everything. Everybody's an expert. All you got to do is go on social media, they can tell you everything about anything. And there's young people know what I'm talking about. That there's a generation coming up. They can't take three steps without taking a picture of themselves and telling the world where they're at and what they're doing. Amen. And they've got the answer to all of life's problems. The only thing is they haven't done anything in this generation. They ain't built nothing. They ain't bought nothing. They ain't paid for nothing. They don't know what a good hard day's work is about. They've never been consistent at anything at any length of time, but yet young people, they want you to think they've got all the answers. I'm telling you, look beyond those fools, amen, and look to a generation that has proven themselves and has fought the test, and my friend, has stood the time, and you can look at their life, and their life will speak volumes, amen. It's amazing to me how that younger people on social platforms have so much to say about everything. And older people are silent oftentimes, like this disciple. We learn about his witness, and then we learn about his worth tonight. What was he worth? Well, the Bible singles out that there was one. Notice the Bible said, and there was with them one nation of Cyprus. Now, there was a lot of disciples there. But none of them's name gets mentioned, and Nathan's name is only mentioned one time here, but he's worthy to be mentioned in this text because of the position that he's in. He's the older disciple, and so there's some worth, there's some value in who he is and what he provides. Some disciples stand out a little bit more than others because when you think about their Christian service and their faithfulness to the ministry and their dedication, it seems to get our attention, amen? And when I think about Nathan in this text, he is one who had been following. He was one who was fruitful, and he was one who was faithful. And because of that, he is worthy to be mentioned. And you know, we all know disciples like that when we think about it. We've seen older disciples who have stood for God down through the years, and they have been faithful. I started listing names of older disciples that some that have went on. I thought about Brother Sammy Allen and Brother Stennett Ballou, and I thought about Brother Herman Cape and Brother Charles Roach and Brother James Rowland and Brother Tom Barnes. I thought about Brother Tim Green, who is still here. I'm telling you, listen, it doesn't matter when Brother Green comes. I don't know what he's going to preach. And can I be honest? Don't really care what he preaches. Amen. I just like having an older disciple around that we can sit at his feet. Amen. I'm telling you, there may come a day when he has to stumble over some words. May come a day whenever he may not be as sharp as he once was. He may outlive every one of us. Amen. I'm just saying there's a value in having a man there. It isn't all about what he knows. It's about how he has lived. Amen. You know, the maturity of a church will be seen in how we embrace older disciples. It's not always, you know, I saw that down through the years at Brother Allen's. He would have men, and sometimes in the very last years of their life, and they would get up and they would preach, and can I just put it this way, as respectfully as I know how, they didn't have it like they used to have it. But he still preached them. And sometimes I would sit there and I would see those men struggle in their older years, and sometimes they would even be repetitive. And in listening to them, I didn't realize until I got a little older myself what Brother Allen was doing. He was bringing them before us. Even though they didn't have as much to give in the end as they once did, their faithfulness, they were generals, they were soldiers. standing them before us. It wasn't really about just what they were saying to us. Their life was speaking above their words, and their faithfulness, looking at them and seeing them still going on in the last few years of their life. Hey, I want to tell you something tonight, church. The value, the worth of some disciples, it isn't always what they've got to say. It's just that continually coming through the doors. It's just that continually being there. And look around this church, and I've seen people down through the years, and you have too, and there come a time when they couldn't sing in the choir. There came a time when they couldn't testify like they used to testify. There came a time when they had to give up teaching Sunday school. There came a time when they couldn't sing specials like they once did, but they were as valuable then as they ever was, if not even more, because their worth, you cannot replace that type of faithfulness and generation. And friend, listen, we benefit from loving them in those walking years. I've had them sometimes say to me, when they would get through preaching, and maybe they struggled, but we all struggle. One of them said to me not too long ago, he said, I don't know if I made any sense this time when I preached. I said, he made perfectly good sense. He said, well, you know, I can't go as fast as I said, it doesn't make no difference to us here. I said, he was preaching in Jubilee, and I said, you're going to come preach here. I said, as long as you can put one foot in front of the other. I said, as long as you can get behind a pulpit, I said, you're going to preach here. I said, and they want you to, and so do I. There's a worth in old disciples, isn't there? And the word old here is said respectfully, amen. And the Bible places respect on the word old, and we reverence and we value what is old. And it doesn't mean that old is wore out. It doesn't mean that old is washed up. I'm gonna tell you something, this is an old book right here, amen. And when we sing that song, the blessed old book that I hold in my hand, we're not saying it's wore out. We're not saying it's washed up, amen. We're saying it's got some value, amen. Because it's been around, and it stood there, it's faced the battle, and it stood the test of time. And when I use the word old about disciple, and the Bible uses it, it doesn't mean wore out and washed up. It means the benefit of having something that has just stood around and been steadfast and hasn't moved. Don't you thank God for those old disciples that just stayed with the stuff? I'm telling you, thank God they've been the saving grace of our ministry and our homes. And I tell you, by the grace of God, I want to be an old disciple one of these days. Amen. Praise God. We learn about his worth, and we learn about his witness, but we also learn about his world. The Bible said that Nason was of Cyprus. Cyprus was prominent in the early days of the church. Barnabas came from Cyprus in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. And Paul and Barnabas went to Cyprus as we mentioned, on their first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13. And this was the world that this disciple Nason grew up in. And so it teaches us that it doesn't matter the place and it doesn't matter the people. God can raise people up anywhere. I'm telling you, you never know where God's going to raise an older disciple up. And tonight, listen, if I was a young person, I'd purpose in my heart that by the grace of God, I wouldn't be as interested in having some big career. And I'm not against you having a career. Listen, I wouldn't be as interested tonight in seeing how much money I could make in this walk of life. And I'm not against you making money. Amen. I tell you what I'd be interested in living for God all the days of my life and finishing the way I started. Amen. And staying with the stuff. Amen. By the grace of God, don't you want to finish right? Don't you want to stay in the old time way? It may be a house full, or it may just be a handful in the end. I tell you, if they just 10 in this building in the end, I want to be one of them, don't you? I want to stay with the stuff. Thank God I want to be an older disciple that sticks with it, amen. You know, if Nason could live for God in his world, you and I can live for God in our world. And I tell you, we learn about his wisdom. The word disciples I mentioned means learner. And he was still a disciple in verse number 16. He was still growing in wisdom. He was an old disciple, and I'm not sure exactly, listen, if it was referring, as I said, to his age or his loving of Jesus, but either way, there was a life of wisdom that is represented here, wisdom through his faithfulness, wisdom through receptiveness. The Bible said that he was willing to accept the Apostle Paul. You see, he didn't get to the place just because he was older that he thought that he couldn't learn anymore, and he didn't get to the place that just because he was older that he thought he had arrived. You know, we have to be careful as we grow older that we don't let the pride of life get the best of us. Amen. I think when you're young, it's predominantly the lust of the flesh, even though pride can still get a young person, but it's predominantly the lust of the flesh. And then when you become a middle-aged person, it is the lust of the eye, the things of this world, even though that they can get us at any point in life. And then as we get older, if we're not careful, it can be the pride of life, but not this old disciple. He was willing to get in with Paul and willing to get in with the rest of this crowd. He was willing to go the journey. I'm telling you, friend, that speaks of wisdom. When you're willing to embrace others and you're willing to work with others, you're not on an island all by yourself. He didn't feel like he knew everything, but he was willing to pull along the side of others. You know, when I came to this church almost 26 years ago, here in a few weeks, there's about 30 to 40 people here. I can't remember how many at the time. The majority of that crowd was older disciples. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons tonight that God has blessed this church from that point to this point is because early on when I came, when Brother Cape resigned, he was 78, I was 23. I thought about that the other day. Boy, that took a lot of grace, didn't it? To go from a pastor at 78 to 23, I don't even know if I could do that. Y'all pray for me, amen. You know what I remember about those days, though? Is that they loved Brother Cape and they loved me. They gave Brother Cape the respect that was due to him, and they gave me and my wife the respect that was due to us. They didn't bind us. They didn't try to act like we were wet behind the ears. And can I be honest with you? We were wet behind the ears. But they loved us and they prayed for us, and whatever direction God led, that them older disciples just got in there. And now they knew more. They'd lived longer than I'd lived. Been saved longer than I'd been living. But that's the wisdom of an older disciple. They followed. He said, Brother Gravitt, did you do everything right? You know I didn't. But they just followed. And they prayed. And God blessed us down through the years. And that's spiritual maturity, to just know your place. And there's an education in that, because in watching them, it helped me to know my place. I remember when I came here, the Lord told me this. He said, don't do anything. Don't do anything that I don't tell you to do the first 5 years. And I remember I didn't even, Brother Lighty, I didn't even do the business meeting. I let Brother Roach do the business meeting for probably, I don't know, a year or so. Didn't bring nothing up till we got ready to build the fellowship hall. And that just kind of happened, you know. The land came open. God just worked it out. But I remember one day Brother Roach said to me after about 6 months, or maybe it was 9 months, I don't remember the time frame, but he said, are you ever going to bring anything up in a business meeting? I said, I don't know. Now, I wasn't doing it because I spiritualized. I was doing it because I didn't want to know how stupid I was. Y'all go ahead and laugh. I've laughed at it. I'm here telling the lady, I said, pray for me. I don't want to do anything stupid. I said, these people's been living longer than we have been. They've been saved longer than we've been living. And I said, if we don't do it, they're going to find out we're dumb. Well, they already knew that. I told her, I said, we're just going to go visit the sick, knock on doors, and preach and be quiet. And I'm telling you tonight, the reason we're still sitting here and we ain't had, you know, a bunch of church splits and problems is because we had older disciples that they were willing to just follow. And we got, you know, that's the way the church is still, isn't it? You know why it's still that? And others have come and you're that way. And I'm going to tell you, you know, honestly, we've not had any fussing and fighting down through the years. Now somebody gets mad and they leave, and what can you do about that? Amen. I don't want them to leave, but they're not going to hang around here and stir up nothing. Can we get an amen right there? They only got two options. That's straighten up or leave. Amen. And doesn't matter who they are. Amen. But I'm telling you that the majority, this church has operated in unity because it goes back to older disciples. We learn about their wisdom, the receptiveness, the usefulness. He's still serving God even though he's an older disciple. You know, I want to be like Nathan. I don't want to quit just because I get older. Sometimes you can't do things when you're older, Brother Jack, you could do when you were younger. Although I listened to your first sermon, your daughter gave it to us. I got it on CD, and I was all excited to listen to it because I thought, man, I can't wait to hear how Brother Jack sounded when he was. How old was you when you started preaching? Do you remember? 27. I wanted to hear what his voice sounded like, and I wanted to hear his first sermon because you know the first sermon is just kind of a. You know, we just stumble through it anyway, you know. I put that thing in. I'm going to be honest with you. I was so disappointed. I said, no, lady, come listen to this. I said, this sounds like he preached this last Wednesday night. Most consistent preacher I've ever seen in my life. His voice sounded the same. And, man, he was up there preaching like he, I mean, sound like he'd been preaching 30 years. Just preaching. I enjoyed the message, but I'll be honest with you, it wasn't anything like I thought it was. But I think about that. And don't you thank God for faithfulness of people? Usefulness. Might get to the place where you can't do what you once did. Doesn't mean God's done with you. And we learn about his walk. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was a charter member of the Church of Jerusalem. And you think about this. He was living in Jerusalem, but he goes down to Caesarea. I mean, that's a pretty good journey. It's about 65 miles from Jerusalem down to Caesarea. But he we think about his walk with God and how that he was willing to go the distance, not just spiritually, but physically. He went the distance. I think about what Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 8 when he said, "Come unto me." That speaks about conversion, doesn't it? And then if you go down to verse number 29, he said, "Learn of me," and that speaks of consecration. And then he said in John 15:4, "Abide in me," that speaks of communication. And then he said, "Follow me," in Matthew 4 and verse number 19, and that speaks of conduct. And this old disciple here, he walked with God down through the years, and he was one that knew what it was, and he had an understanding of the way and the walk of his master. You could just be around Nathan, and I promise you are going to pick up on something. I promise you was going to learn something just by being around him and watching his life. Don't you thank God for older disciples? He didn't have to say anything in the text. His walk says more than his words would ever say. And then we learn about his willingness. He was willing to make the trip and he was willing to fulfill the task. Look at verse 16 again. With whom we should lodge. You think about this older disciple providing lodging for Paul. No doubt, when you think about this, he was well-liked in Jerusalem. And bringing Paul into Jerusalem, Paul was already warned not to go there. Bringing Paul into your house couldn't have been too good for his popularity in Jerusalem. Think about the courage of this older disciple. His work, his willingness to bring him in. And he lodged the Apostle Paul. What an investment when you think about this in the latter years of his life. He's been serving God. He's been living for God. He's an older disciple. It looks as if he may not have many years left. I don't know how many years he had left. But I do know one thing. One of his greatest works was done in the latter years because he let the Apostle. Can you imagine giving a bed and breakfast to the Apostle Paul? Amen. I'm talking about if anybody was going to get a reward. Jesus said, if you give a cup of water in my name, you're going to be blessed. I'll tell you, this older disciple gave him a bed, gave him a room, gave him lodging. It didn't matter. You think about the courage it took, the work that he did, the investment. You know, it encourages me when I read this text and that little phrase, with whom we should lodge. It encourages me in this area to always be investing in God's work, in God's people, in God's will. Nathan graciously opened his home for Paul and his companions. You know, we should never get to the place where we don't invest in the work of God. He was active with what was taking place, and we must, young people, invest. You know, when you get a job, tithe. When you get a job, give to missions. Somebody gives you, if they have you come, maybe you say, I don't have a job, but if you cut a yard and they give you $50, you're right, you give a tithe on that. You give something to missions. You started out that way, amen, and you invest in the work of God and never give begrudgingly. And I understand when you get on a fixed income, then sometimes it's more difficult and you can't give like you once gave when you worked on a public job, but always invest. And when you don't have money, you pray for God to send you some money. You pray, hey, people pray, God, send me some money for this and give me some money for that. But pray God to give you some money to give back to the work. And I promise you, if you do that, He'll give you some more money. Amen. Because God's never going to let you outgive Him in any reason. And then invest your time as you get older. You know, make it a habit to always give, but to always invest in the work of God. I appreciate the young people in the church, don't you? And I appreciate you working around the church. Never be lazy in the work of God. Don't, you know, God's house, you don't have to have a title to take care of it. You see something, take care of it. Amen. Take good care of God's house. You know, we have a homecoming, pick up a rag and wipe a table off. Can I get an amen right there? Don't wait for somebody to ask you to wipe a table down. Start wiping a table. Amen. Pick up a vacuum cleaner. I mean, don't eat like a hog. Amen. And then shoot out the door to go home and take a nap. I mean, invest. Can I get an amen right there? I'm not talking to older people. I'm talking to middle-aged and down. I mean, if you don't work when you're young in the house of God, you won't work when you get older. Amen. And don't be somebody always with your hand out when it comes to church. You put your hand in something. You put your hand on something. Amen. Can you invest in God's work? You see something needs to be done. Listen, don't run around and say somebody needs to take care of that. Oh, no. I'm telling you, if you know how to do it, you ought to do it for the glory of God. You invest. You be a worker. Don't you be lazy when it comes to God's house. We got enough of them. Can we get an amen? And you're the Wednesday night crowd. I'm sorry I'm preaching. I wish I was preaching this on Sunday morning to some of that outfit. Amen. I mean, just roll in and suck the life out of what they can get and never invest in anything else. I'm telling you, listen, the most happiest people I've ever met has been people that's got rolled up their arm sleeves and they got busy in God's work and God's house. I don't come to church expecting anything. Can I get an amen right there? I'm telling you, we come to God's house to put in what's going on. You'll be happy doing that. Amen. Oh, yeah, and while I'm at it, these two balls got stuck up in the gutters. Stopped them up and rusted them out. Well, we need to pray about that, don't we? All them balls, we need to pray about them. We'll talk about that after church, amen. I reckon we're talking about it right now, though, ain't we? Invest. 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 That's what older disciples do. Think about this with me tonight, church. Think about this. Is this true? It's the older people, isn't it? Now, we got young people. We got middle-aged folks. I'm not leaving you out. Don't think. But think about this, young people. Think about this, middle-aged folks, tonight. It's the older people that just keep going, isn't it? Sometimes I've went to some older people in the church and said, hey, you know, and I say it respectfully. I'll say sometimes, now listen, you don't, I'd rather you not do that. They're like, preacher, I want to do this. It's what we want. And I said, well, you know, let me get somebody else to do that. No, we want to do it. Let us do it while we can. That's the attitude. Let us do it while we can. The way they got that way was they did it all their life. You start out lazy, you end up lazy. You start out with you. Hey, let me say this while I'm on it. How you work when nobody's around. Amen. That tells who you really are. I used to work on the job, and man, we had one or two on the job. Listen, they wouldn't hit a lick at a snake if it's going after them, you know. But you let the boss man show up, boy, they'll grab a broom and start running with it. Used to burn me up, amen.
Amen. I'm not telling you I ever prayed that God let a box fall on her head, but if one fell on her head, I mean, might be providential is all I'm saying. That outfit, I mean, you know, they start pushing a broom like they, I mean, like it's running out of business. You know, they work it as hard as they could, just showcasing. And when they walk off, they wipe her brow and just go back. I'm going to tell you something. That's like a character is what that is. It's a sorry work ethic. Am I telling the truth? I don't know how I'm getting this out of this text, but it's in there somewhere. Christians work hard when nobody else is around because the eyes of the Lord, they're in every place. You don't beat the clock at work. You give an honest day's work. Amen. And tonight, young people, I appreciate you. I appreciate you singing in the choir. I appreciate you working around the church. But I encourage us all tonight, look at them older disciples. Boy, thank God for them. That's how you become one, and you're all on a good path. Stay with it. And tonight, if you're here and you say, well, I ain't been really doing that, you ought to do it tonight. You know, we as middle age and older, we have to keep on going. They need us to tonight. They need us not to get weary in well-doing. We have no excuse tonight. We all get tired, don't we, Brother Daniel? Hey, sometimes I've learned this. When you get tired, don't make no decisions. Amen? You say, what do you do, preacher? When you get tired, just go to bed and get up and think about it again in the morning. You know how many times I've said to myself, I ain't doing that no more. I ain't doing it no more. And I go to bed the next day and I say, well, you know what? Here we go. I'm telling you tonight, there's a generation, they need us to stay with it. I have no reason tonight to quit. Neither do you. We must keep pressing on. Think about them older disciples tonight as we stand. The benefit. And we've been blessed in this church. We've been blessed with a lot of gray hairs down through the years. We have to keep it. We have to keep being faithful. We can't get weary in our well-doing. And I've preached a little to the young people, a little to all of us tonight, but just make your mind up. Stay in one place. You can't do anything for God always jumping here, there, and yonder. You're going to have to stay somewheres, and that means you're going to have to fight through and face some things. But God will bless you just for being faithful. While we sing tonight, you obey God while we sing.